Good morning.
Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church, God's host, the place he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. For our text today, I shall read selected verses from chapters 3 and 4 of the book of Exodus. And may God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. If there is any sermon topic to which we can relate, I believe it is the one today. We are all experts on excuses. We have all majored in this subject, and many of us hold PhDs in the field of excuses. And as our nominating committee calls upon you to serve the Lord here at his church, I'm sure excuses will be offered. So this morning I wish for us to consider some excuses that God has heard when he called upon persons to serve him. And I want us to understand that excuses for doing God's work are a sin, and we shall be held accountable for such conduct. Excuse is an attempt to gain release from an obligation by claiming mitigating circumstances. It is an apology to gain exemption from performing a task or deed. It is a reason offered in justification for not performing an act. You know, an excuse is really an attempt to be our own judge and jury. We offer the excuse, we slam down the gavel and say, case dismissed, and we move on to the next excuse. The problem is, excuses are usually only credible to us. Excuses never seem to vindicate our actions to others or to God quite like we hoped that they would. When we're young, excuses are sometimes cute or funny and probably most of the time are harmless. But as we grow older, excuses turn to pathological and become a part of our DNA, which we accept as being us or being me. You know, excuses are old as humanity itself. You all know where I'm going. When God confronted Adam and Eve with their sins, Eve cries out, the serpent made me eat the apple. And Adam yells, Eve made me eat it. Excuses from day one. And here we come to chapter 3 in the book of Exodus. And this, to that point, this is the most disheartening and darkest of times for the nation of Israel. They are enslaved by Egypt. They are used to build the pyramids, to work in the households of the Egyptian people, and of course to serve the Pharaoh. And God appears at this time in history to Moses in the form of a burning bush, which is not consumed by the fire. And he tells Moses, he says, I, God, have come to rescue the Israelites from Egypt. Now, I'm sure Moses was excited with this news, elated, until he is told by God, I want you to tell Pharaoh to stop the slavery and that the Israelites are leaving the country. Well, it's at this point that Moses becomes just like you and me, and excuses pour down like rain. His first excuse is found in Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 12a. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you." What a pitiful excuse, but it's usually the first one we pull right out of the file. The first one right off of the top of my head. Who am I? I'm not worthy to do this task that I'm asked to do. I can't do the job. Look at all my past mistakes. You know, Moses killed an Egyptian who was oppressing an Israelite years ago, and we know that's why he fled at that time. So he is saying, you know, I tried to help the Israelite people years ago by standing up for one of my fellow brethren, but nobody paid any attention to me. Nobody listened to me, so why should they listen to me now? Well, you don't have to use your past as an excuse. Just let go of it and God will take control of the situation now. God is here in the presence. Moses is inferring that he is a nobody. And guess what? God does not deny that Moses is a nobody. But God tells Moses, "I will be with you." In other words, God is saying, it is not you, Moses, who will be standing up to the Pharaoh. It is I. You must trust me to stand up to him. I wonder, have you ever used this "I am nobody" excuse when contacted by a nominating committee to teach a Sunday school class or to serve in Bible school or to serve on a committee in God's church? Remember, God often chooses persons to perform a task who are not qualified for that job. He picked Paul, Saul of Tarsus, the worst persecutor of Christians during his time, to become the greatest evangelist that the world has ever known. He chose the hothead Peter to be one of the disciples to lead the early church in its formative years. What God is saying is, I want people to know it is I, God, that's doing the work and not the person. That I am using that person to do my work. I asked them to do it for me, and they trusted me that I would help them accomplish whatever I wanted them to do. Excuse number two is found in chapter 3, verse 13 and 15. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" What if I agree to serve, Lord, and I go and nobody accepts my credentials? They question whether I can do the job. And God's telling Moses, it's not about you, Moses. Don't worry about it. It's not about you. You don't have the answers. I do. But sometimes we use this excuse of not being qualified because we think that'll exempt us from service. But Jesus promises us in the book of Mark that we have the authority in his name and with his blessing to preach and teach the truth in love, to cast out demons and to heal the sick. So certainly we can teach a Sunday school class. Certainly we can serve in Bible school.
Certainly we can serve on the kitchen committee. God is saying, if I call you, just trust me. I know that the job can get done.
And we move now to Exodus chapter 4. And we learn in that chapter that Moses isn't worried about whether the Pharaoh will believe him. You would think he'd be concerned that he goes into the Pharaoh and tells him, you got to stop this slavery. I'm here from God. And Pharaoh's going to say off with his head. No, he's not worried about that. He's worried that his own people, the Israelites, the ones he's attempting to rescue, would think that he's crazy or insane and not qualified to lead them. Look at verse 1 in chapter 4. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? God never denied that the Israelites would doubt Moses. He never told Moses, don't worry about it. I'm going to touch their hearts. I'm going to touch their minds. They'll be most receptive to you as a leader. Everything will be hunky-dory. God never said that. God says, I shall convince them. And he does two miraculous things. He tells Moses to throw down his staff and it turns into a snake. And he says, pick it up by its tail. And he does, and it turns back to a staff. He says, put your right hand in your cloak and take it out. And when he does, it's leprous. He says, put it back in and take it out. And it's whole and well again. And he says, if they don't believe those two signs, here's what you do. You go to the River Nile, you take some water out, you go to the dry ground, and you pour the water on the ground, and it'll turn to blood. Don't worry. I shall convince them that you are the one that should lead them. God never asked Moses to use abilities and talents that he did not have. What God has given to you, he wants you to use. He's not waiting for you to become somebody else. He's not waiting for you to become a great orator in order to teach a class. He's not waiting for you to become one of the great organizers of the time to work in Bible school. He designed you for a purpose. And when he calls you to do his work for him, he means it. And this is where we often use concern for our abilities, concern for our talents as an excuse. It's not our place to worry. God will take care of that. God will make it happen if we follow him. It's about him. Moses was so concerned about what would happen that he didn't listen when Moses was worried about what might happen. He didn't listen when God told him what would happen. He was so concerned. He didn't even hear God saying, this is going to happen. He was worried about if, ands, and buts. Excuse number 3, Exodus 4, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Well, Moses might have been slow of speech, but boy, he was quick with the excuse. As soon as God asked him, he starts coming up with them. And now he says, I don't speak well. I speak slowly. I'm not eloquent. And finally, Moses offers one more pathetic response to the request of God to serve him. Look at verse 13 in chapter 4. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. And God burned with anger against Moses. Have no doubt in your mind that God becomes angry
when we make excuses for doing the work that He has asked us to do. God is angry at Moses because he is refusing to trust Him. When Moses begs God to send someone else, he's in effect saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't believe what you tell me is going to happen will happen. I don't have faith in you. I don't have the confidence in you to do what you ask. But finally, in chapter 4, verse 20, we read that, so Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt, and he took the staff of God in his hand. Finally, Moses responds in obedience to what God has asked him to do, and God helped him, or God through him led 2 million Israelites safely out of Egypt. Why do we use excuses when it comes to God's work and comes to God that we would not use in other aspects of our life? Many of you here like sports, just like I do. Would we use these excuses to quit attending a sporting event? Every time I attended, they asked me to contribute money to some project or another. The people that seated around me, they didn't seem very friendly. The seats were hard and uncomfortable. The music was too loud. There were a bunch of hypocrites sitting all around me. You know, the game went into overtime and I got home late. In fact, they even scheduled the game when I had something else planned. My parents took me to too many games when I was growing up, so I don't want to go anymore. And finally, I like this one. I know more than the coaches do because I once read a book on coaching. You know, are we going to stop going to the baseball game, the football game, the basketball game? The ref made a bad decision. I didn't like it, so I'm not going back. The preacher said something I didn't like, so I'm not going back. I didn't like the choir music. You know, we don't use these excuses in other aspects of our life. And we should definitely not use them when it comes to serving God. This sin of excuse will come to judgment one day. And when we stand before God on judgment day, guess what? No more excuses. No more excuses. We will have to own up to the fact that we didn't serve God when He asked us to do that. Excuses quite often when it comes to God come from our heart and not our head. We don't think them through, but we still use these excuses. When God calls us to forgive those we do not wish to forgive, we remind them of how they treated us in the past. When He calls us to read our Bibles, we say, but God, I've read it through twice in my life. I'm just tired of reading it. When God calls us to serve, we tell Him we're not qualified or we're waiting for the right time. When He calls us to connect with other Christians and help Him, we complain that, no, we can't do that because we have relationship difficulties. When God calls us to tell the world about His Son, Jesus, we tell Him how inadequate we are, and we turn to His church to do that task. But we are all inadequate. We all fall short. If not, Jesus would not have had to come and paid for our sins and our shortcomings. We could have done it ourselves, but we can't. Jesus paid the price. Jesus is the answer. If we're thirsty, He'll fill our cup. If we're tired, He'll give us rest. If we are broken, He will mend us. Jesus is the Lord. He paid the price necessary for us to have eternal life. And now God only asks that we have faith in Him when He requests us to do something for His kingdom work here. So the question this morning is, do you trust God? Will you serve when He calls? Will you pray when the nominating committee asks you to do a job? They're not going to ask you to answer right then within 2 or 3 seconds. They understand you may want to talk with God, but when God says, yes, this is what I want you to do, you need to answer that call. And this morning, if He's touched your heart before, or touching it now through the Holy Spirit and calling you to serve Him today as a believer, as someone who makes a public profession of faith, we invite you to come forward and make that profession. And if you're interested in joining this body of believers, I'll talk to you about that. But come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 300. And again, we invite you to stand as we sing.